The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. 2 weeks ago, we began to study here in John 1, and we talked about Jesus Christ being light and being life, the one who gives us light and the one who also gives us eternal life. And that Sunday afternoon, we talked about grace and truth, grace and truth. This morning, I want to take you into some verses a little bit further in the chapter. And this morning I want to preach to you, there's the title of the message, I'm Just a Voice. I'm Just a Voice. This afternoon I'm going to preach about I'm Just a Water Pot. I'm Just a Water Pot. But this morning's message, I'm Just a Voice. I'm Just a Voice. I apologize, I'm getting a cold here and some kind of cough drop. Listen closely if you would. John chapter 1. Let's look down to verses 19 to 23. John chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. Why don't you stand together with me, please, if you're physically able to do so, and we'll look at these scriptures. John chapter 1, verses 19 through verse number 23. The Bible says here, and this is the record of John, this referring to John the Baptist, this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? You know, art thou Elias, or art thou Elias was more of a New Testament word for the prophet Elijah. Saying, are you Elijah, in other words? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. So they wondered, are you the Christ, or are you one of the prophets? Are you Elijah come back? They really wondered, Who are you? He said, No, I'm not Christ, I'm not Elijah, not one of the prophets, not one of those prophets, I'm not Elijah. Then said they unto him, verse 22, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. I'm not the prophet Isaiah, but I'm a prophet like Isaiah in that I am crying out, Make straight the way of the Lord. Prepare for the Lord. I'm not Christ, but I'm here to tell you better prepare for Christ. I'm not the Messiah, but I'm here to say you better get your heart right because the Lord is come. The Lord is here. He said in verse 20, Three, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Who are you, John the Baptist? Who are you, John? I'm not Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you to use your word this morning to speak to our hearts. Please challenge us. Challenge us. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John the Baptist, you can be seated. John the Baptist was just a voice. I'm just a voice. I ask you this question this morning. Can each one of us become a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ? John the Baptist said, I'm not Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not a great man. I'm not a great prophet necessarily. I'm not the Messiah. I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. Can you become a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I become a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ? Can those 12 people who went out yesterday, those people who went out on Thursday night, you know what those people were on Thursday night and Saturday as they went out to try to tell some others about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what they were? They were just a voice. Just a voice. Can you and I become voices pointing people to Jesus Christ? Can you and I become voices that tell others about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Can you and I become voices that tell others that the God's Son did come down from heaven and come to earth and die on the cross so that sinners could be saved? That the lost could be saved? so we could become the children of God and have a home in heaven. Listen, can we be voices telling others about Jesus? Can you or I be a voice showing others how to come to Jesus Christ and be saved? Listen, God doesn't need great men. God doesn't need a great women. He just needs voices. All He needs is voices. People that are willing, I'm willing to be a voice for Him. I may not be Christ, or I may not be a prophet. I may not be somebody great, but I can be a voice. I can be a voice. Can you be a voice? Notice with me, if you would, verse 23 down to verse 29. I want us to read those scriptures together. John chapter 1, verses 23 to verse 29. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they cried, verse 24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Listen, John the Baptist was willing to lift up his voice. John the Baptist was willing to boldly declare Jesus. He was willing to just be a voice, willing to be someone who would point other people to Jesus. He was willing to point people to the one and the only one who could save them from their sins. He said, I'm not great, and there's not really anything I can do for you, but you know what? I can point you to the one who can help you. I can point you to the one who was preferred before me and the one who's coming after me. I can point you to Jesus. I can be a voice. I can be a voice. You know something? We can't save a soul, but we can tell other people about the one who can save them. I can't make anybody else get saved, but I can tell them about the one who died so that they can be saved. I sometimes wish I could. And you probably do too. Don't you wish sometime that some person that you know is lost, you know they're not saved? Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a co-worker. Maybe it's somebody and you care about them and you know that they're lost and you know that they don't have Christ and they don't have hope in their life. You know that they're dying in their sins. And you might sometimes just wish, oh, I wish I could save them somehow. I wish I could snap my fingers and they could be saved and become a child of God and everything just change in life. And we can't do that. I can't change anybody. I can't save anybody, and neither can you. But you know what? I can be a voice. And you can be a voice. And we can tell others about the one who can make a difference in their life. We can tell them about the one who can give them peace and can forgive their sins and can save their soul. We can point them to Jesus. John was just a voice. Just a voice pointing people to Jesus. Notice in verse number 29 how he referred to him as the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist was not all interested in getting a following for himself. He was interested in just being a voice that would point people to Jesus. And he said, Look, behold, there he is, the one who I've been trying to prepare you for, the one who I've been trying to get your hearts ready for, the one who I've been trying to tell you about, the one who can really save you, the one who can really make a difference in your life. That's him. Behold, the Lamb of God. Why is he called the Lamb of God? Well, because he died as a sacrifice. This is something that all the Jews would have understood well. They offered sacrifices. They believed in a God. They knew that they sinned against God. And so they would regularly offer sacrifices to their God. On Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, a sacrifice would be made, and the priest would go in, take the blood of that animal, and go into the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the temple, and sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat to make an atonement for the sins of the people. They would have understood about what a sacrifice was about. They understood blood being shed. They understood lambs being sacrificed for sin. And John the Baptist described Jesus as, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Hey, if you want your sins forgiven, go to Him. Look to the Lamb. Look to Jesus. Believe on Jesus. He is the one that can save. Jesus was just a voice pointing people to Jesus. In verse 29, He introduced Him as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Notice verses 30 to 34. In John chapter 1, verses 30 to 34, and we see Him also being introduced as the Son of God. The Son of God. John chapter 1, read it with me. John chapter 1 and verse number 30. "This is He of whom I said, after Me cometh a man which is preferred before Me, for He was before Me." He's God. You say, well, how can He come after Me but also be before Me? Well, on earth, John the Baptist was born a little bit before Jesus was. On earth, John the Baptist's ministry, if you will, began before Jesus' was. And John the Baptist was, if you will, the last of the Old Testament prophets to be those that would try to point Israel and point the Jews and point them to the coming Messiah. And so He was doing that, but He said here, listen, He who's coming after Me was actually before Me. How is that possible? Well, it's because Jesus was not just born in Bethlehem. Jesus was not just someone who came then. No, He existed before that. He was in heaven. He was with God the Father. Jesus is eternal. And He existed in heaven before He was ever born on earth. Again, notice these verses. "This is He of whom I said, after Me cometh a man which is preferred before Me. For He was before Me, and I knew Him not," verse 31, "but that He should be made manifest." What does it manifest mean? To be completely made known. He would be completely seen to the world. It would be declared to the world who this is God. That the world would be able to see God. "And I knew Him not, but that He should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove." The Holy Spirit. "And I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon Him," on Jesus. "And I knew Him not. But He that sent Me to baptize with water, the same said unto Me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, the same is He which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." Why did God do this? It'd be a sign to John the Baptist as well. This is the one. The one that I've sent you to preach about. The one that I've sent you to talk about. The one that I've sent you to tell others about. This is how you're going to recognize Him, John. I'm going to send the Spirit of God. It's going to descend like a dove. You're going to see a dove descending. The Holy Spirit of God came and descended upon Jesus Christ there. And God had assured John that, listen, this is going to be the one who can baptize people with the Holy Ghost. This is going to be the one who can save sinners. This is going to be the one who can really make a difference. Verse 34 says that I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist, what was he? Not a great man. He was in our perspective, but from his own admission, I'm not a great man. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the great prophet Elijah. I'm just a voice. But what a voice. A voice that could tell others about Jesus. A voice that could point others to the Messiah. A voice that could point others to the one who could save them. A voice that could point and say, listen, He's the Lamb of God. He's the one who's going to die for your sins. He's the one that can save you. He pointed others to Jesus. He pointed others to the Lamb of God. He pointed others to Jesus and said, "This is the Son of God." That's who He is. Listen, John was not trying to get a following for himself. He just wanted people to know Jesus. He wasn't trying to get people to follow him. He wanted people to follow Jesus. Notice what the Bible says in verse 35 to 37. John chapter 1, look with me there, verses 35 to 37. "Again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." You know what? That didn't bother John. John wasn't trying to gather disciples for himself. He didn't just want followers of John. He wanted people to be followers of Jesus. That was his whole purpose, to point others to Jesus, to try to get others to follow Jesus. I think John was glad that day that those two disciples left following him and decided, "I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus." Who was John? Just a voice pointing others to Jesus, pointing others to the Lamb of God, pointing others to the Son of God, trying to get other people to follow Jesus. Let me share with you another thought this morning. Those who follow Jesus should help bring others to follow Jesus. Those who follow Jesus should help bring others to follow Jesus. Look at beginning in verse 37. John 1, and we're going to read verse 37 down through verse 42. Stay with me. John chapter 1 and verse 37. "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master. They said unto him, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. Come and see." Hey, wouldn't it be great if we could just be voices that would tell people, "Hey, you got to come and see. You got to come and see my Jesus. You got to come and see my Savior. You've got to come and learn about my Jesus. You got to come and hear about him. I want you to know him." He said, "Come and see. Come and see." Keep reading verse 39. "They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, which shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." Notice again something about those verses. "The two which heard John speak," verse 40, "followed him. Their names were," was Andrew. Sorry, "and one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." What did Andrew do? Verse 41, he goes and finds his brother, Simon Peter. When Andrew starts following Jesus, what does he do? Go and finds his brother. "Brother, you got to come and see Jesus too. Hey, I want you to come and follow Jesus with me." So when Andrew becomes a follower of Jesus, he wants to go get somebody else to follow Jesus also. And we see in these verses that Andrew found his brother, Simon Peter. Notice another example here. Look at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So he was from the same city as those men were. What had Jesus done? Jesus had got Andrew. Andrew started following Jesus. And Andrew went and got his brother Simon Peter.
to follow Jesus. Now Jesus meets Philip and says, follow me. What does Philip do? Look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. Listen, we have found him. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Andrew was so excited to be following Jesus that what did he do? He went and found his brother Simon Peter and said, hey, you got to come and see him. You've got to come meet Jesus. You've got to come and follow Jesus with me. Come and see him. Come and follow him. Follow Jesus. Philip gets called. Philip becomes one of his disciples. And what does Philip do? He goes and finds his friend Nathanael. He goes and finds Nathanael and says, hey, come and see him. Come and see him. I know it's the Messiah. I know it's the Christ. I know it's the one that the Old Testament prophets. I know it's the one that the law spoke about. I know it's him. And they wanted others to follow them, to follow Jesus. Andrew found Simon Peter. Philip found Nathanael. What did they become? Well, just like John the Baptist, they became voices. They became voices. They became voices boldly telling other people about Jesus. They became voices saying, hey, come and see what I found. Hey, come and see my Jesus. Hey, come and see the Messiah. Come and see the Savior. Come and see the Lamb of God. Come and see the Son of God. I found him. I found him. Hey, I want you to come and see him too. I want you to find him too. I want you to follow him too. They became voices for Jesus. May God use all of us to be voices boldly telling others about Jesus. May God use each one of us to help find and bring some other people to follow Jesus. You know, that's what soul winning and witnessing and so on, that's what it's really all about, is just being voices for the Lord to try to get other people to come and see my Jesus. To try to get other people to follow my Jesus. To get other people to know about the Lamb of God who died so that they can be saved from their sins. To come and get others to see the Son of God who can make a difference in their life. That's what it's really all about. And we use the terms about soul winning or witnessing. Really, it's a search and rescue mission. It's a search and rescue mission. We want to search for others. Why? So they can be rescued. We want to go find others so that they can be rescued too. We want to go look for others. Why? So that they can be saved also. It's a search and rescue mission. What did Andrew do? Andrew found his brother, Simon Peter. What did Philip do? He found his friend, Nathanael, because he wanted him to follow Jesus also. We sing some songs sometimes in our songbook. There's a song, Seeking the Lost, or Rescue the Perishing. Listen, that's what we want to do. We want to seek the lost. We want to seek those who don't know Christ. We want to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Why is it that Jesus came down to earth? Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 tells us this. He came to seek and to save the lost. Why did Jesus come down to earth? He came to seek and to save the lost. That was his mission. That was his mission, to seek and to save the lost. You know something? That's a mission that we need to be a part of as well. We need to be on a mission. We need to go seeking the lost. We need to go finding the lost. We need to go finding our Simon Peters. We need to go finding our Nathaniels. We need to go finding our neighbors that need Christ, and finding our co-workers that need Christ, and finding our relatives that need Christ, and finding people in our community that need Jesus Christ. We need to go seeking the lost and bringing them to Jesus Christ. Andrew found his brother Simon Peter. Philip found Nathanael. When Jesus calls us to be his disciples, he calls us to be with him, but he also calls us to go out and reach others.
In the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus spoke to some of His disciples, the Bible records for us what He said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's what the disciples were to do, and that's what we're to do as Christ's disciples. Follow Him. We're called to be with Him. We get the privilege of being with Him, and we're called to follow Jesus. But we also should become fishers of men. We should find others and bring them to Jesus. We should try to rescue others and bring them to Jesus. We should try to seek the lost and bring them to Jesus. Become fishers of men and fishers of ladies and fishers of boys and fishers of girls and fishers of neighbors and fishers of co-workers. Hey, because they need to come to Jesus. We need to go fishing for men. We need to be seeking the lost and finding the lost and bringing them so they can follow Jesus as well. Disciples of Christ were called to follow Christ, but a byproduct of that relationship ought to be bringing others to follow Him. When we were at the men's conference, we heard a man preach a message there at that conference. Found people, find people. Found people, find people. If you were found by Jesus, now you ought to find other people. Remember the song of Amazing Grace, "I once was lost, but now am found"? Found people, find people. Jesus found Philip, and Philip found Nathaniel. Jesus found Andrew, and Andrew went and found Simon Peter, his brother. Found people ought to find people. Found people ought to find people. Jesus found us where we were. Jesus found you in your sinful, lost condition. And most likely, if you're here today, you probably know Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't. And you need what Jesus can do for you. You need to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Jesus came and found them where they were. He showed them what they could be. He showed them that He had something better for their life. And listen, He has something better for all of our lives. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And God has something better for your life. And He finds you, and He saves you, and He rescues you, and He wants to change your life. He wants to give you a home in heaven. He wants you to be a child of God. He wants to give you an abundant life and a joyful life. He finds us in our sinful, lost condition, and He saves us. He rescues us. Now that we've been rescued, now that we've been found, we ought to find others. We ought to find others. Just like Andrew found his brother, Simon Peter. Just like Philip found Nathaniel. You know, every time we read about Andrew in the Bible, he's always finding other people. He's finding other people and bringing them to Jesus. Boy, wouldn't it be great to be like Andrew? He got found and he wanted to find other people and bring them to Jesus. But I'd like to be an Andrew. I'd like to be an Andrew finding people and bringing them to Jesus, saying, "Hey, you got to come and see Jesus. You got to come and see the Christ. You got to come and see the Son of God. Come and see the Lamb of God. Come and see the Messiah. Come and see the Savior. He can make a difference in your life." I'd like to be like John the Baptist, who was just a voice. He said, "I'm not the Christ, and I'm not the great prophet Elijah, and I can't do anything for you, but here's someone who can." And he became a voice telling others about Jesus. He became a voice pointing others to the Lamb of God. He became a voice pointing others to the Son of God. We've been found, and we ought to find other people. Like John the Baptist, he said, "I can't be anybody special." That's fine. You might say, I can't be a loud voice. Okay, be a quiet voice, but be a voice. Be a quiet voice if you need to, but be a voice. You might say, it's not a real outgoing person. Okay, be a shy voice, but be a voice. We can be voices for Jesus Christ. We can be voices for Jesus. Every one of us can. Why don't you pray and ask God to use you to be a voice? Pray and ask God to help you to learn how to become a better voice for Him. Go out with somebody else and just listen and learn how to be a voice for Jesus. How to tell other people about Jesus Christ. How to tell us, hey, come and see. If that's all you can do is to stick a gospel tract in someone's hand and say, I'd like you to come and see my Jesus. I'd like you to come and hear about my Jesus. Sometimes when I've talked to people, I've told people, I just want to tell you about my best friend, Jesus. Listen, you might not be able to say much, but can you say, come and see? Come and see? Come and see? We can be voices. We ought to be voices. You say, me? Yes, you. You ought to be a voice. Lucy can be a voice. Ashley can be a voice. George can be a voice. Lauren can be a voice. Nori can be a voice. Polly can be a voice. Abigail can be a voice. Trisha can be a voice. BJ can be a voice. Hi can be a voice. James can be a voice. Dave can be a voice. Edie can be a voice. Every one of you can be voices. You don't have to be a prophet. And you can't save anybody. But you can be a voice. I'm just a voice, John said. I'm just a voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to be the voices for the Lord that we ought to be. God, help us to care about the lost and dying around us. Help us to care enough about them that we will try to share with them how wonderful our Savior is. That we can say, come and see. That we can say, hey, look to the Lamb. That we can say, hey, I believe He's the Son of God. He's made a difference in my life. I believe He's the Christ. I believe Jesus is truly the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save us from our sins. I want you to know about Him. Can you be a voice? Will you pray and ask God this morning to help you to be a better voice for Him? Can you determine that you will find ways to become more involved in being a voice for Jesus? Can you pick up some gospel tracts off that table and even this week be a quiet voice, be a timid voice, be a shy voice if you need to, but begin to be a voice for Jesus? Could you go out with us on a Thursday night or maybe a Saturday afternoon and just say, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know how to talk, but I'd like to learn to be a voice. I'd like to learn to be a voice for Jesus. Can you pass out gospel tracts? Can you invite people to church? Can you just try to invite them to Jesus? Can you say, hey, come and see? I'd like you to come and hear about Jesus. I'd like you to come and see my Jesus. Ask God to use you to be a voice. All of us can be voices for Him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He is the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. And He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And there's no way in the world you're getting to heaven on your own. You might think, well, I'm religious, I'm a good person, I got baptized as a baby, I've gone to church all my life, I'm from a good family, I do good things, I'm a nice person. Well, none of those things can get you to heaven. The Bible makes that very clear. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. We must, in humble faith, trust Jesus and Him alone as our personal Savior. It does take a childlike faith to be saved. Why? Because we have to humble ourselves. We can't be relying on our own goodness. We can't have just our own thinking that makes us think there's some better way or our own way or we're good enough. We have to just humbly trust God and trust God's Son, Jesus Christ. You've never done that. Let someone show you from the Bible how you can truly be saved, born again. If you don't understand what it means to be born again and become truly a child of God, you need to let somebody show you how. How you can truly be born again, how you can be saved, how you can know 100% for sure, without any doubts that heaven's your home. If you have doubts about going to heaven, then maybe you're not saved, or maybe it's that the devil's just trying to cause you to doubt. But listen, you need to get it settled one way or the other. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to come to Him. I want you to know my Jesus, my Savior. If you're already saved, if you've been found, can you find others like Andrew did? Can you find somebody else like Philip did? Can you be a voice pointing others to Jesus?